good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on today's show. Hallie Schmeling from Grassroots Menominee Falls will be joining us at 10:33. They have banned another book. Books are dangerous, Greg.
That's the problem, Jane. The books are just causing all the damage.
All kinds of problems. Next hour at 11:06, we're going to debut a new segment we're calling Grifters, Thieves, and Cheats. Boy, way to wreck that, Jane. Grifters, Thieves, and Cheats.
Grifters, Thieves, and Cheats.
You hear it from the people of the town. We call us Grifters, Thieves, and Cheats.
That's all we know.
That's at 11:06. 11:33, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will join us to talk all things sports. And then we'll wrap things up at 11:50 as we do every Thursday with Brittany Merlot and Weather and Wine. We have some very, very warm weather coming our way. It's going to be toasty next week for the RNC. That's what we're going to deal with, but that's all right. So we're going to start off, though, again. Now we know that MAGA Republicans really fervently believe that books are dangerous.
Yes.
You know what's not dangerous, Greg?
What?
Guns.
Well, a good guy with a gun isn't dangerous, Jane.
Grocery stores in Alabama and Oklahoma have started allowing vending machines that allow people to buy ammunition for their guns. The vending machine supplier American Rounds, quote, markets ammo sales like you've never seen before on its website. The company says it wants to revolutionize how ammunition for handguns, rifles, and shotguns gets sold.
We want to revolutionize this by using a piece of equipment that's been around for about 60 years.
Now, I've run out of things.
Yes.
Toilet paper.
Yep. Check.
Eggs.
Yep.
Milk.
Yeah.
Bottle of wine.
Couple bottle of wines.
Perhaps. Back in the day, maybe even condoms.
Whoa. Hey.
I'm just saying. You know, there are
people. Calvin, put your earplugs on.
People need things at the last minute. You got to rush out to the store. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that there was a big demand for last minute ammo.
Yeah. It's a thing, Jane. Haven't you just been driving down the road one day? You're heading to whatever you need to get to, and you're like, and it just hits you right in the freeway. You're passing that restaurant. You're like, oh, I should go there. And then you realize, oh, I forgot my bullets.
I can't believe I forgot them.
I am such.
What a silly brain. The automated ammunition dispenser uses artificial intelligence technology to verify the buyer's ID and age through card scanning and facial recognition software. The buyer inserts a photo ID and the machine conducts a scan to match it to the ID card. Terry Stanley, the COO of Fresh Value, a grocery store in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, says he is super excited to offer the first ammo kiosk. We're always looking for ways to give our customers another reason to come visit our stores. Absolutely. Anything we can do to help them make their shopping trips easier, based on the feedback we've gotten from customers today, they are so excited about us having an ammo kiosk.
I'm not surprised that they're saying this, that like they're excited about it and people are excited. I mean, it's Alabama. They love their guns down. We love our guns up here. And I'm sure that that kiosk will make its way to Wisconsin eventually.
Oh, I think, well, certainly if Republicans completely take over, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have, you know, I think they should just put guns in every bassinet when a baby is born.
A tiny little gun?
No, a regular size gun.
Just regular.
Well, they'll grow into it.
Yeah.
You know.
I just imagine, you know, if you need bullets for something, you know where to buy bullets. Like, if you're a gun owner, you know where you can buy your ammo, whether it's a Walmart, whether it's a gun store. Are you really saving time? Because all opinions aside about the actual thing itself, the kiosk full of bullets, you have to go in, you have to get your ID scanned in the machine, you have to pay for it. My guess is there's probably a setup. I'll bet you there's a setup fee as well. You have to set up your ID and
I'll Probably.
They match you to their database, which I'm sure that information isn't going to be sold to a third party whatsoever.
Right.
Is it really providing a value for your time and your money? Are you getting the bullets cheaper? Are you getting them faster and getting back in your car and doing what you need to do? Like, I, for me, ridiculousness and like what's going on aside, is it a value added in your life as a gun owner? Or is it like, I'm going to run into Walmart, I got to pick up some shotgun shells, I'm going hunting this weekend. That will take you, what, 5 minutes versus bullet vending machine at a grocery store that might take you longer. It might cost you more because you're paying for all this stuff too, the technology
right.
that's inside. Like, that's where my brain goes. Like, is it really a value added?
I'm just curious. And if you're a sportsman, I would love to hear from you. And I mean that most sincerely. In what instance, where are you heading when you realize you don't have the ammo and you need to run to a grocery store to a vending machine with bullets?
Yeah.
What's in what scenarios? Because again, I'm not a gun owner. I didn't grow up in a gun owning household. No one in my family hunted. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Ammunition in vending machines in grocery stores in several states down south. Why do you, what, do we need these? Maybe I'm missing something really obvious. Maybe people are going to the gun range and oops, I forgot to pack my bullets.
There was a review on this by the website Gizmodo, mm-hmm. where it said, in some states, you can now walk into a grocery store and buy bullets from a vending machine as if you were ordering a candy bar or a soda. Though explained, the process was slightly more rigorous than buying a Twix.
Oh, slightly.
Slightly.
Well, see, it's not like just anybody can do this.
No. No, you got to have an ID. What go wrong with just having an ID? The database. I mean, nothing can go wrong there. AI. I mean, AI has been proving itself over and over again to be reliable.
So
100%.
Reliable. Yes.
Nothing can go wrong here.
Right.
No way to hack into this system. It's foolproof. We need to shut up, Jane, and just accept this.
And welcome it.
Exactly.
Be excited about it.
Maybe they'll start making radio talk show hosts in a vending machine, too. You can come to a store and you pop a look. We can come out, start talking about stuff with you. I mean, it's just the possibilities, Jane.
During a briefing of the Tuscaloosa City Council, before their regular meetings, City Council President Kip Tyner asked the police chief and others, municipal leaders, to explain a vending machine selling people ammunition at the Fresh Value store. Tyler, quote, I got some calls about ammunition being sold in grocery store vending machines. I thought it was a joke, but it's not.
Nope.
The city's police chief, other city staff, report that the machines are legal and have been vetted by the ATF. So again, I ask, in what situation, where are you going
mm-hmm.
that you realize you didn't bring your bullets and you need to stop at a grocery store and hit the ammo vending machine? 855-752-4842. Tom from West Dallas is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi there. I was just going to comment that I think the people who would go to the store to buy them are probably the real stupid criminals who are on the way to rob the place and realize they don't have any bullets.
How did you find out where I was? Well, you had to put your ID there in, sir, and there's a database, and you know where this is going. You're going to jail now.
But you know what really bothers me about this, Tom, though? And because I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days since I first saw this story. The people I envision using this ammunition vending machine are right after you got in a fight with somebody at a bar.
Yeah.
Right after you got into an argument with your girlfriend or wife or ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend. Otherwise, in what situation do folks need to stop, make an emergency pit stop at the grocery store to pick up bullets, right, Tom?
Well, are the same people who are mad that they have to have a waiting period to buy said gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such an infringement on their rights. It's just baffling. But books, Tom, be careful with books because books can really hurt you.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for listening, Tom. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. For what reason You're heading somewhere. You're in the car, out with the family.
Sunday drive.
All of a sudden, oh, geez, I forgot bullets. Yeah, run over to the grocery store and hit that vending machine. The other thing, are vending machines impenetrable?
No, you can bust into those.
You can?
Yeah, you can break open. Like if you go to a Coke machine, that's just a thin piece of like vinyl plastic that separates you and the merchandise. You can pry the door open. Also, we've all been there. You've gone to work. There's a vending machine. All you want is a bag of chips. You put in your money. Here come your chips or your Glock 9 bullets. Whatever. And they get stuck.
Oh, I hate that.
They don't fall down. And then you're the crazy person kicking the bullet vending machine. All you want to do is give your mom a present.
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream. Sugar, that's the real danger.
Tell me about it.
Why are candy bars so accessible? I don't know.
Shut up, Tony. Don't judge me.
Now we're going to need ID to buy candy. But bullets, schmullets.
Yeah, we got a text from Liz in Saukville. Liz says, we don't need ammo vending machines. In the words of Hawkeye, Pierce, and MASH, I'll carry your books. I'll carry a torch. I'll carry a tune. I'll carry on. Carry over and carry forward. Carry credit. Okay, this goes on for a while. I'll even Harry carry if you show me how, but I will not carry a gun. Wow, love that show.
And again, Liz, we've talked about this before. I don't want your guns. No. I'm not coming for all your guns. We are talking about reasonable gun safety measures. And with the amount of shootings we have in this country, where guns are now the number one killer of our children,
mm-hmm.
having bullets available in vending machines at grocery stores, call me crazy, seems like a bad idea. 855-752-4842. Join the conversation. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, if you are in the Waukesha area and you're going to be out and about on Saturday, come down to the wonderful Waukesha Farmers Market. You can find it all set up in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank. It's right along the Fox River. It's really a lovely venue. Great vendors, great food. Civic Media, we will be out there this Saturday from 8 a.m. until noon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more than one chair.
Oh, boy.
If you want to come and sit and we can have a chat, and I'll buy you a cup of coffee and a scone.
That's a deal. Even if you disagree with somebody, I'm going to take a scone and some coffee.
I'll do that. It's about having conversation.
Agreed.
And we would love to hear from you right now at 855-752-4842. MAGA Republicans certainly believe that books are very dangerous, but we know guns are fine. Vending machines now showing up in Oklahoma and Alabama and in Texas. Vending machines that sell bullets. I just want to know, in what situation, where are you going, that all of a sudden you smack your forehead and go, I forgot my ammo. I need to stop and pick up some bullets.
But the bullet store is closed. What do I do?
Well, now, Greg Bach, you can go to a grocery store.
You mean the same place I buy my lettuce, my hummus, and my sodas?
Yeah. Now you can stock up on ammo while you're there. It's fantastic. Newsweek reporting the vending machines are likely to stoke a controversy. You think? Nick Cipollina Senior VP for Law and Policy at Everytown for Gun Safety, says in a country awash in guns and ammunition where guns are the leading cause of death for kids, the number one cause of death for children in our country is no longer cancer, it's guns.
Yeah.
We don't need to firmer normalize the sale and promotion of these products. The introduction of these ammo-wielding vending machines come as gun control advocates increase efforts to try and defeat the gun lobby. There were more than 500 shootings across the country over the 4th of July weekend. 500 shootings.
4th of July weekend. Not this year, not this month.
Just the weekend.
Just the weekend.
So before you're heading to your holiday party, you want to make sure you got ammo.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can.
Yes.
855-752-4842. Mary from Wauwatosa is on the line. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane and Greg. So I'm sure, you know, this is a new thing we're hearing about ammo in the stores. And so I'm sure that there's, you know, some humor to address it. But I always look for the, you know, the underlying reason or for the root cause of, you know, concerning things that come into our lives. And right now it's ammo and vending machines. So as we hear about the possibility of a revolution and uprising, you know, if the election doesn't go MAGA's way, wouldn't this put the better availability of ammo into the hands of those, you know, who are going to be taking part in a uprising? Kind of like a concerning thought. So I think I'm sure that there's a reason for what they're doing.
That's a really chilling thought, Mary. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. I mean, again, the whole thing is that the good guys with guns.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of good guys who had guns until they did something bad with the gun, and then they became a bad guy with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the mass shootings we've had in this country, those weapons were all legally obtained.
Yeah.
So they weren't felons when they got their guns. They were good guys who had guns.
Mm-hmm.
Until they weren't good anymore.
I mean, we've also seen instances where quote unquote good guys with guns do nothing with their guns. So it's a chasing your tail type of argument, in my opinion. You can go round and round. But like when it comes down to this point, I agree with Mary too. I mean, the notion that we've seen that they don't take loss very well. And I can see a person trying to tip over a vending machine full of bullets.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I can see that. You know why I can see that? Because I watched a bunch of people storm the Capitol. Not hostages, not patriots, not tourists, criminals, traitors, people who tried to overthrow an election. They're not going to take loss easily. And if they have ammunition, firearms, weapons of any sorts available to them, I'm sorry.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong,
Greg?
Don't worry, though. You need an ID. It's AI enforced. We're fine.
And where did all of this confidence in AI come from all of a sudden?
It came because they just needed to have AI confidence.
In this instance.
In this instance. And also the other thing, too, this is a very small thing. One of the stories that on the cleveland.com, which by the way, all these articles will be on the show notes for today. The vending machine supplier you read out, American Rounds Markets, they marketed as ammo sales like you've never seen before. That's a very Trumpian phrase.
Yes, yes.
Those words together, like you've never seen before. That's Trumpian. That is very, very MAGA in its roots. That's appealing to a certain individual. And that when I read them, like, oh God, oh.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom from L.A., good morning, Tom. We got about 2 minutes left. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I just think messaging really matters, and we need to make sure we say gun safety, because gun control, no one wants to be controlled, and I think that's where we kind of have a hiccup. So the thing is, gun safety is what I took as a Wisconsinite when I was a young kid, mm-hmm. as a gun safety course.
Yep.
It wasn't gun control.
Right.
So I really think we need to be really careful with the wording that we use. Because, you know what, if someone wants to go out and actually use it for hunting, that's one thing. But if we're using it like a machine gun, that's a totally different thing. Weapons of war do not belong in anyone's hands.
Absolutely agree with you, Tom. Thank you so much. And I think we do call it gun safety.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not trying to...
No one's treading on you.
I don't want your guns. I just am waiting for the time when so many guns, as John Stewart said, when will they make us safer?
Yes.
If more guns make us safer, when is that curve going to kick in? And if more guns make us safer, why aren't they allowed on the floor at the NRA convention? Why aren't they allowed at the RNC?
Or CPAC.
Inside the convention hall.
Or CPAC or any of those other places.
The safest people in the world.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Mm.
Ammo and vending machines, that's just fine. That's not a problem. Everyone will behave responsibly and handle it. Unlike books.
Watch out for those books!
Greg Bach, which are very, very dangerous.
Get down, books!
And we're going to learn about another dangerous book coming up right after the news. I hope you will stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cal B on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were just talking about how now ammunition available in some vending machines in states like Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama, because we know guns are fine and weapons are good and more of them keep us safer, but books are dangerous. Books are really, really dangerous, people.
I'm scared of them.
And you should be.
You ever been hit with a corner of one? Ow!
So that's why we are being joined by our guest. Hallie Schmeling is one of the co-founders of Grassroots Menomonee Falls. Good morning, Hallie. Thanks so much for being here.
Morning. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we're joking to start off with, but this is yet not funny. And
no,
they have banned yet another book in by the school district of Menomonee Falls.
Yes, they have. We're up to 34.
Oh, well, what an accomplishment for them. The latest challenged book is Love Makes a Family by Sophie Beer. And I took a look at it on Amazon, and it's a very basic kind of is it a preschool book, Hallie?
Yeah, it's a 10-page, it's called a board book because the pages are literally made out of boards because the children who read them might rip it if it's paper.
and so it's just essentially showing, yes, some same-sex couples, maybe a single parent, maybe, you know, whatever the makeup is of the family. Love Makes a Family. And this is so distressing and so dangerous that it just had to be banned. So what was the most offensive thing about this 10-page book?
To me or to the
to the people who complained.
I would say it didn't align with their family values. Yes, correct. And that they didn't feel that alternative lifestyles should be introduced to 4-year-olds because it can confuse them.
Are we still using that phrase to describe gay couples, same-sex couples, like alternative lifestyles?
Oh, I mean, it was hard, bad. It was a room full of homophobic people who had the mic, essentially.
And is that who was primarily allowed to speak?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
And let me guess, they didn't come out and say they dislike gay people. They just inferred, implied, maybe even dropped a love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yeah, it was very much just, you know, couched in, it doesn't match some families' values. And so this should be a parent conversation. And so if the school is sending a book home, why would you confuse the child if their parent says no to reading this book?
Are they being forced to read this book?
No. So the program exists. So it's just encouraging reading at home. So children can look at books. They put it in a little bag. They take it home. And then it's supposed to just encourage parents reading with their children at home.
Which is a really good thing. That is a really, really important thing and a very, very formative thing for young children. I guess my confusion is, if this is not part of a forced curriculum where your four-year-old has to write a book report on the 10-page picture book, this really makes me angry.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Oh, tell me about it.
I can't even imagine, Hallie. I cannot imagine. Yeah. And I'm as you said, so there was a meeting about this on Monday, right?
Yes. Yep, there was a meeting and then final decision made.
Oh, poof.
Within 40, it was a 40-minute meeting. Mm-hmm.
Were all of the attendees, Hallie, there to speak out against the book?
I would say out of roughly the 40 to 50 people who attended, like that weren't part of like this little committee, I would say 5 were for the removal, but the rest of us were like, let's keep these books in our schools. Like, this isn't a problem. Same-sex marriage is legal.
Today.
And the book, And the book isn't like, love is having two dads. Love is having a mom and a dad. The book is literally like, love is waking your parents up in the morning. Love is, you know, making a cake. You know, it was like so generic. So really, it was just the illustrations that they had the issue with that didn't match their family values.
So I saw, again, I looked at the book. You can take a look at it at Amazon.com. And they also wrote about this on TMJ4, actually, that includes one of the pictures. And one of the parents said, okay, yes, the book showed a transgender couple saying there are two men lying in a bed together. More importantly, it depicts a man waking up to another man with pigtails and breasts. I looked at that photo. They've got really vivid imaginations.
They really want to see what they want to see.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, it is two. It appeared to be, to me, to be two men.
Yes.
And as you said, Hallie, same-sex marriage is not illegal.
Right. It exists in our public schools. You know, like, teachers have spouses that are the same sex. Mm-hmm. Like, children who are four have parents with same-sex parents. Like, it exists. And it is important for those children who have same-sex parents to see that representation in books. Not every book, some books.
And again, this is not part of a forced curriculum. No one is making parents read this to their children.
But the mere sight of those books being able to be seen by those children, Jane, is incredibly dangerous. Because they might they might do something that some of those parents can't handle, which is, well, at four, what questions are they going to ask besides what's dinner? They're going to ask why. And that's going to force the parent to come up with an answer. And they're not going to be able to explain it. And maybe their kid grows a mind of their own and thinks outside the box of their parents. Oh, my dear God, Jane.
But here's my, okay, fine. Say you are against this book. Mm-hmm. You read it to your child anyway. And your child says, what's that? Pointing to the same-sex couple. If you are against this, isn't this the perfect opportunity for you to pontificate? and say, right. Well, God says this is wrong and this is what we believe, so this is wrong. Why wouldn't that be a teaching tool?
You ask great questions.
I mean, you said, Hallie, that it's a part of a program where the kids put a bunch of books in a bag, bring them home, they read with their parents. Mm-hmm. I don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews. And they've given me a bunch of books. Say, will you read one, Uncle Greg? And I pick the one that I want because I know they love them all.
Yeah.
If your kid picks out a book that you don't like, you simply put it back in the bag and you don't even read it. There, I doubt a four-year-old's going to be like, what about that book about family parents? I requested that book.
Remember last week, Mom and Dad?
Let the record show I picked a 10-page board book about family. Well, I have not read it yet, Father. Why not, Mother? No, they're not going to care. Just don't even read the book. Or put it back in the bag.
Or again, if you are so against this, then why wouldn't you use it to enforce your own personal agenda?
I think the biggest thing that has really irked me and just stayed in my mind through this entire thing is that we are talking about, like, we're in a public school that accepts everybody no matter what. Mm-hmm. Yet that display on Monday night was not about education. There was no one except for one person with any type of educational, like, experience or any type of training, you're right, that was able to speak or that chose to speak. The rest was just ideology.
Mm.
So that's what gets me, is that, like, the ideology of a few extreme people have taken over and sent a message to all families, community members in Menominee Falls, essentially.
Hallie Schmeling is our guest. If you're just joining us, she's with Grassroots Menominee Falls. And we're talking about the latest decision by the school district of Menominee Falls to ban yet another book. This one called Love Makes a Family by Sophie Beer. You can take a look at it. We'll include a link in our show notes after the show is over. Hallie, for people who are not familiar with Grassroots Menominee Falls, and we've talked to Andy a number of times, what prompted your forming and what is it that you do?
Well, more than anything, I'm wearing a shirt right now that says, we're bringing unity in our community. That's our Grassroots shirt. We are really just out here trying to educate the community about what is happening, because I truly believe people have no idea. I do believe, like, my lens within Grassroots is more education. I mean, we have a school board and we have a village board within our local governance.
Right.
I'm more on the school board side. I truly believe that parents trust and love their public schools and their teachers, and they just assume things are going well because my kids seem okay, right? And we're just here to really just help disseminate the information, because this is very anti-democracy. And I think if more parents knew, if more community members knew about this one-sided thing, they wouldn't continue to vote for this. But I really believe people just don't know what they don't know. And so that's why we're here. So, yeah, it's a lot. But the more people who find out, I'm just like, right, I'm not here to bring forth the hate rhetoric or indoctrination or grooming. I really am just like, your average person is just like, yeah, let's have kids learn how to, like, be around other people. And then they'll learn how to, like, read in school. What? Like, that's cool.
You're so radical, Hallie. That's just so crazy.
We need Calvin. Can you come in here with a mist gun? Just give a good spray for. She needs to cool down a little bit, Jane. The hackles are rising.
But Greg, you and I have talked about this in the past. For groups like this who want to ban this depiction of these people, why do they think it's never going to come down to their people? Single mothers, a person of color, single fathers,
interracial couples.
Interracial couples, absolutely. Why do you think it's going to stay contained to this one thing that they find so offensive that offends their moral sensibilities?
Well, I mean, and that's a great point to make, because, and Hallie, if you could indulge me for a moment, at that meeting, what kind of language were people using with regard to the book itself? Were they being, I find it nowadays when people go to, like, there, you always have the people who will, like, scream and yell, like, this book is evil and terrible and gay people are the worst. And I almost respect that because you're coming out and saying it, and I understand your point mm-hmm. of view. But a lot of times people will go to these meetings and be like, I just don't think it has the right message. I don't think the values are correct. It's very passive aggressive language. What was the scale of the language?
Right. They couched it in, it's not age appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's controversial. It doesn't meet standards. We don't teach human growth and development until third grade. This can be offensive to some families. It's confusing to children. That's how they spoke about it.
And that's why parents are there, to answer the questions of their confused children. Or should we just, we should just never answer of any of those difficult questions or anything that we don't want to deal with. It's just like that. Never mind.
You raise them so they never ask questions.
That's a good point.
And but the reason why I asked Hallie that question is to your point, what you were saying, which was you start with that language of it's controversial. It's not family mm-hmm. values. Then you look at the single moms. Is this the best example to be putting into a book? A single mother? She doesn't have a husband. Interracial couples. Mm-hmm. I know it's legal, but not everyone's used to it. So that's how it starts, with that passive-aggressive language.
We're going to continue this conversation with Hallie Schmeling from Grassroots Menominee Falls. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Books are dangerous, but have some bullets in the vending machine. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wonder who wrote the book of law. Tell me.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Give us a call. Send us a text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to ruin on an annual, daily basis, actually. Hallie Schmeling from Grassroots Menominee Falls is our guest, and we're talking about the recent decision by the school district of Menominee Falls to ban yet another book. This one, 10 whole dangerous pages, called Love Makes a Family by Sophie Beer, because it has bad, you know, I'm not comfortable with depictions of same-sex couples. But I think Greg has a really good point about, what about single mothers? Mm-hmm. Is that acceptable? Does that make you uncomfortable? Then that should go too, right? Andrew from Maine, does the book show a family where the mother is divorced and hanging out with a boyfriend in a theater watching Beetlejuice?
Hey-o! Cultural reference.
All the family values you need right there.
And don't forget vaping. Don't forget, is that mom vaping?
Oh, yeah, vaping. Yes, vaping moms. Vaping moms. This is so frustrating, Hallie. And as a parent, I can't imagine your frustration or the frustration of other parents within this school district. And again, this was not required curriculum reading. This was just an additional book that kids could check out and take home if they chose to. They were not being forced to study it. They were not being forced to write a book report on it. It's 10 pages.
I want to go back.
The other point too that was offered that I thought was interesting is this book has been in the district for two to three years. So hundreds of parents have had this book, and this was the very first complaint. So I think that says something as well, that this book was just chilling in the classroom, you know,
minding
its own business.
Do you think, Hallie, that people are becoming more aware of the very coordinated effort by Moms for Liberty to to foster these kinds of book challenges and things like that? Because that the Moms for Liberty are not grassroots. That is a very much a coordinated organization with very specific agendas. And I would like to think, because we've talked about it, I would hope that more people are becoming aware of that organization and what their goals are. And their goals are essentially minority rule.
Yeah. Their goal, especially Moms for Liberty, their goal is to dismantle public education, mm-hmm. like create seeds of doubt in people so that people no longer trust what public schools offer. Because, right, public schools offer books with pictures of two dads. Do I think people are waking up to it? I think they are. Now, my personal preference is more people would get it quicker. But, I think we're on the path. It's just unfortunate that these type of situations have to happen for people to see it.
But thank goodness, but thank goodness your organization exists, because it's summertime. There probably never would have been 40 people who would have showed up at the school board meeting on a Monday Correct. Night in July if your group hadn't brought attention to it. So at least in that way, it seems to be cutting through. But this will be a second Trump administration agenda. And if you think book challenges and book bans are out of control now, it will get far, far worse.
Oh, they'll go to the publisher. They'll demand manuscripts. Yeah. They will never see the light of a printing house. It will just be, no, your book has been declined because it does not meet the standards of thus and so.
Right. Right.
Mary, they have a source that Moms for Liberty uses called Book Looks that created.
Yes.
Right. And so they'll sort. They'll say we're going to look at book looks to see. And I just am like, wow, we're just taking any type of educational, scholastic understanding of books out when we make decisions. I mean, it's here, people, and it's not only in Menominee Falls.
Absolutely. No, this is statewide, certainly nationwide. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Mary from Wauwatosa texting in at 855-752-4842. Reading banned books, let's not forget the horrific effect on family dogs that are being read to by the reading practice by the little child. Oh, the dog humanity there. There's
protect Fido at all costs.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
What a world.
Ramifications. Jim from Ableton listening in Green Bay. The sarcasm is strong with Jane today. Snark away, young lady. Book banning is terrible. Thank you, Jim. It is terrible. Yeah. It is terrible, and it should be terrifying to all of us.
Well, I'll give you some sarcasm. What do you mean? It's not banned. It's still offered in the community public library.
Well, that was another question. Somebody on the live stream wondered about, is there a process to get books added to a library?
No. Right now, no. But that is something that we're questioning, working on. Because, isn't it sad that we have a policy to get rid of books, but not a policy to bring back books?
Just thinking of all the books that I would get banned just to be a jerk, just to be sarcastic and petty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this really opened up a nasty can of worms, because the what ifs and the definition of controversial is so wide open that people are like, oh, I can say I'm offended by sharks. So any book with sharks in it, I would like to ban for everybody. It's so one-sided. It so takes out any type of educational expertise. And quite frankly, it's a huge disrespect to the professionals. Huge.
And don't by any stretch of the imagination think that just because these books are available in public libraries that it will stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen concerted efforts to go after our public libraries to bend to these extremists.
And again, children should have representation of themselves in their schools. They're required to be there for 7 hours a day from when they're 5 until they're in high school. Like, they should see themselves in a space where they're required to be. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And so the fact of people saying, well, it's in the public library, I'm like, it needs to be in their schools too. Yeah. That's where the kids are.
Yeah.
Hallie Schmeling from Grassroots Menominee Falls has been our guest. We will include a link to your website, Hallie, if people want to find out more and get involved. Know what's going on in your community. It's critically important. Thank you so much for joining us, Hallie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay close. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Who wrote the book of law?